Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We began to look at the last chapter, chapter number 5, last time, and that's where we're going to pick up. But before we begin our study today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Father, we pray your blessing upon our study and your very words today, Lord. We pray that you would take your very words and minister to each one of us as we need to be ministered to, dear Lord. We pray that the saint of God listening today would be encouraged and edified and lifted up in the things of thee. Father, we pray that if there's a lost soul that's listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that's not trusting in their shed blood alone to pay for all their sins and give them a home in heaven, we pray that this would be the very day that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. As the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the last time that we were together, we started to look at, we began to look at verses 4 through 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And that section is entitled, Be Careful and Encourage One Another. And I did a little bit of analysis and background of those verses, and then we started to apply what we learned in those verses to us today as believers. So that's where I want to pick up today. Now, we are told that we are to put on the whole armor of God. We must realize that we are facing a superior foe. And in order to succeed, we must be protected by the armor of God. We have not been appointed as believers to judgment, but to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is that we have been called by the Lord of glory. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, which we looked at last time, we have in the Greek an unbroken chain of foreknown, predestined, called, justified, glorified. That we are chosen for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is given in a parallel passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, which says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Christian is not perfect and will therefore spend a certain amount of time awake in a spiritual state and some asleep, out of fellowship or carnal. Jesus Christ died so that the believers could live with him forever. The fact that one is not sinless as a Christian is shown in the provision of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Let's turn there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is a verse that all of us as believers should have memorized, should have hid in our hearts. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the fact that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our advocate at the right hand of the Father is seen in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our response to such love and grace is outlined in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, which says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Too often, we have criticism and judgmental attitudes in the church. People pick on a point to divide, rather than encourage one another on our Christian walk. We as Christians are pilgrims in an alien land, and we need to encourage one another as we live on this earth. The Lord's commandment is to love one another. Now we want to turn to our next section, our third section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which is entitled Commandments for the Christian Life. Commandments for the Christian Life, which are found in verses 12 through 22. Commandments for the Christian Life, verses 12 through 22. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read down together verses 12 through 22. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now let me give you a little bit of analysis and background of this section, Commandments for the Christian Life, as we read in verses 12 through 22. In verse 12, Paul urges the Christians to recognize those who work in the church and have authority over the church. Some of the people will instruct or warn them. The leadership in a church have a critical function in teaching and preventing wolves attacking the sheep. This acknowledgement is given again in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 18, where Paul said that those who work for him and others had refreshed all their spirits. Let's look at that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 18, Paul said, "For they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Getting back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 22. In these verses, we have the commandments for the Christian life. They are as follows. First of all, esteem the hierarchy of the church for their labors. Be at peace among yourselves. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Do not repay evil for evil. Pursue what is good for everybody. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold on to what is good. And then finally, abstain from all appearances of evil. In Mark chapter 9, verse number 50, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it?" Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. We as Christians, see, are being watched for our performance. When we love one another, this gives peace, which is observably superior to anything the unbeliever has. The person outside may well be attracted to Christianity through the testimony of our lives. In verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul exhorts and encourages the believers at Thessalonica to have certain attitudes to different categories of believers. They are told to warn those who are unruly. This command is further expanded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, where Paul says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul and his co-workers set a standard of behavior appropriate to the believer for the new converts to follow. See, that's the problem with a lot of churches today. The Word of God gives us church discipline, but it's not practiced. See, it's anything goes. Only one doctrine is preached, the doctrine of love. Yes, God is love. Amen. But he's also a God of order. He likes things done decently in order. And he hates it when the church is disorderly. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, the Apostle Paul notes, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." See, this is a poor witness, amen, when this is going on in the church to those outside the church. They are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the verses we read, they are told to comfort the faint-hearted. We are told to face the foe. They are to uphold the weak. Paul, in Romans chapter 14, verse 1 said, "He that is weak in the faith, receive ye." And in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Finally, in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they are to be patient with all. This is, of course, one of the facets of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, Paul commands the believer not to retaliate evil for evil, but to pursue what is good for all. This concept is also given in the Pentateuch, where in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it states the following: "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." And in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are commanded to rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice evermore. In Romans chapter 12, let's turn there together. Romans 12. In Romans 12, verses 18 to 21, notice what it says. Romans 12, verses 18 to 21. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul encourages the Galatians when he says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of the faith." We're to be good to all men, even the unsaved. But we're to be especially good to those that are saved. That's what Paul's saying. In verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians are commanded to pray without ceasing. This means praying should be constantly recurring. We are to keep the receiver off the hook and be in touch with God so that our praying is part of a long conversation that is not broken. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Ephesians were encouraged by the Apostle Paul, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they were told to give thanks under every circumstance. We know from Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, that there will be no more suffering in heaven, as it states in that verse, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." In verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are commanded not to quench the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we are told, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." So as believers, we're not to quench the Spirit, nor grieve it. You think of quenching the Spirit like pouring water on a fire, and grieving, hurting. And we certainly can do that as believers. Human good produced by the believer under the control of the sinful nature is not acceptable to God. It is considered to be filthy rags in his sight and is the wood, hay, and stubble of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, which is burnt off at the judgment seat of Christ. Now in verse 20 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, instructs the Thessalonians not to despise prophecies. Now this is the preaching of the Word of God. At the time of the Thessalonians, the preaching of the Word of God comprised evaluation of the written Word and provision of new material, which eventually would form the balance of the New Testament, most of which had not been written at this stage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, prophecy is seen to be infinitely more valuable to the church than the gift of tongues, which was in existence in its genuine form at that time. Paul commands the Thessalonians to test all things and hold fast to that which is good in verse 21. In John, 1 John chapter 4, First John chapter 4, verse 1. John warns the following, warns us of the following. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. See? So it's very important to study the Word of God, to be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that uses only the King James Bible and believes the King James Bible is God's preserved, inerrant, infallible Word. So that you can use the Word of God to try the spirits. Just because someone may mention the name of Jesus, amen, doesn't necessarily mean they're of God. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is. Jesus had this to say in connection with this that we've been discussing. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous, wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Amen. Now, Paul on his missionary trip met with the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 13, we are told, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who came thither, went in to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we are told, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." We as Christians are not only to abstain from evil, but even the appearance of it. Some conduct of a Christian may on the surface be innocent, but if it looks of it is evil, then abstain from it. Satan has the concept that people doing good things to each other can make the world work perfectly without God. He has the concept of the universal brotherhood of man. Well, we still have to want to do a little bit, make an application of these verses that we read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll do that next time when we get together on the pastor study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today on the pastor study. Until we meet again, my prayer is God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.